Good morning, ECPC. It is a pleasure to be among you today. Please, if you are able, stand with me and open your Bibles on the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians, chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. To the churches, wrote, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with us in this hour. Be you the one that talks to us and applies scripture through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Whether you consider yourself a Christian or not, we all have to answer the news. A gospel answer the questions, who I am, who is God, is there a God, what is wrong with people, what is wrong with me, and how can things be right? Today we're seeing the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, which is nowadays Turkey. I've never been there. Maybe some of you have. But this is where these churches were. And this was the beginning of Christianity. So these are all new converts. New converts. And Paul is writing this letter to them, because there was this other group called the Judaizers that were coming to these new converts and giving them some extra instructions of how to truly be a Christian. They were adding to the gospel. I hope that this sermon today would help us, just as it helped me the other day when I was driving my wife's car. After you drive a car for a certain amount of one way or the other one, that is a fact. And a fact is that we, in a fallen world, our hearts are prone to wander. Our hearts are prone to go just as the hearts of the churches in Galatia, the churches that Paul is talking to. And the first thing that Paul tells them is, I am shocked, I am astonished that you so quickly desert him. Paul is astonished. We know that Paul probably was not married, so probably he didn't have any kids. Well, Timothy was his spiritual children, but that was not his kid. He did not raise this guy. If you have kids, you know how kids can be. I have four. And the other day, it occurred to me, since it's summer and it's hot, they were asking me to water the plants, and I was like, sure, okay, why not? So I allow them to use the hose by themselves, but I told them, I'm going to go in the house really quickly to get something, and I'll be back. Please be careful with your mother plants. Do not water them too hard, because they can die. Well, it literally took me about 30 seconds. When I came back, it was a mess. The four kids were soaking wet. The plants were destroyed, and they got me in trouble with my wife later on, of course. I should have known better, because they were not born yesterday. I should have known better that kids do this, and this is what is happening with the churches in Galatia. These are new converts, new Christians. They're babies. And Paul, for some reason, he gave them the gospel, and now he's shocked. He's shocked because they have decided to abandon the gospel. And we all have a gospel here. I hope most of us, we have a closer version to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we all have a gospel. And Paul is telling them, these new converts, I'm astonished you did not only abandon the gospel, but also abandon the one who called you, the one who loved you. We know from Romans that he chose us before the creation of the world. He saved us. He loves us. He served us. And this is amazing. Again, once again, as a parent, I'm learning so many things. And one of the things that is always astonishing is my wife, she does a lot for the kids. Like, I go to work, come back around 5, sometimes 6 p.m., I'm all tired. My wife is obviously super overly stimulated because of being with 4 kids all day, especially now in the summer. I show up and I'm like, hey, have a break, go take a nap, disappear, whatever, for an hour. And my kids there to tell me the other day, they were like, Daddy, you are our favorite parent. You are the best. Mommy, not so good. You, the greatest. Of course, I've not been with them all day. If I would have, I would be like just my wife, like so tired of them and overly stimulated. We're kids, even if we're older, our kids are prone to wonder. These Galatian people, these churches, these new Christians, not only make Paul to be astonished of how quickly they departed from the gospel, but also because they had abandoned the one that really love them. Look at this, because Paul he doesn't feel personally attacked. And this is something that we should learn as parents when we're raising our kids or when we're sharing the gospel. If you're not a parent, but you're sharing the gospel with someone, with a newcomer or your neighbor, and they treat you like a total idiot for believing in this Christ, do not take it personal. It's not against you. It's against him. This is what Paul is doing here. Paul, he put all the effort here. Nevertheless, he is astonished because they have rejected not Paul, but the one who called them. And then in verse 7, this is something very interesting that Paul says. He says, not that there is another gospel. You turn to a different gospel, but not that there is another gospel, referring to like there's another version really of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one and one alone. Now I gotta say, we all have always bought a cheaper version of stuff, right? Whether it was in our college days when we were all broke, or in our starting days of marriage when we were also broke, or whether it's life or just the way we are, sometimes it is reasonable to get a cheaper version of that. It's just not reasonable when it's about eternity, when it's about your life. And this is why also Paul is astonished. Think about it. If you were going to jump from a plane, again, I wish I would do it, but I don't think my wife will ever allow me. But if I ever do it, and they always trying to sell, yeah, right, packages. And there was this package of, yeah, well, this is the cheapest one. The parachute, not so good. My open, my not. And I still bought it, and I got on the plane, and I jump off. Okay, Lord, let your will be done. None of us would do that, but why would we do exactly what the Galatians do? Sometimes we get a distorted gospel. We believe a distorted gospel. And when we're talking about the gospel, we're talking about eternity, where we are heading. And still, sometimes we decide to get the cheaper version. We do it all the time, even with gas station phone chargers, right? When you forget yours, you get that version, ended up spending $20 for nothing. They don't work. Paul is telling the church, you have this distorted gospel. And this is something that we all do. We change the gospel and we add things. Maybe the gospel for us become to be good people, following rules, feeling just spiritual, but we undermine grace. If we add a little bit, even if it's a little bit more to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it stops being the true gospel. And I'm sorry, but I got so many stories to tell you, because another one is I recently got into, as a typical millennial that I am, I recently got into doing sword dough, and I got this expensive flour, and I got all chefy on that, and I had, of course, I watched a video on YouTube about it. Whoever made that video was either trying to prank people, because that's what I'm guessing, because the amount of yeast that he told you to do, or maybe it was my math. I'm going to say it was my math. But the amount of yeast that they told people to put was way too much. I didn't know. I was like, well, I'll just put a full spoon. And then I just let it sit. My wife came, and she was like, oh, so how's your thing going? I was like, well, tomorrow around this time, we're going to have some pizza. Well, it took like less than an hour, and the thing was like overflowing. The smell was the worst. Why did this happen? Even though it was so little, it happened because I added something. And this is exactly what happens with the gospel. When we add, even if it's a little, it becomes a distorted gospel. And a distorted gospel cannot save. A distorted gospel can look in two ways. You can look into, it can become legalism, or it can become licentious. Both extremes are the result of our lack of confidence in the power of the true gospel. In their heart, they don't actually believe that this Christ is for reals. So they're always trying to do something just in case. That was, the cross is not enough. On the other side, the licentious thinks that, that's enough. I don't need to do anything, so I'll just go wild. So Paul gives us a serious warning in verses 8 and 9. Paul gets so serious because this is serious matters. He says, even if we, including me, or even an angel, brings you a different gospel, let this person be accursed. The reason why Paul is repeating this is just like today when you're sending a text and you use caps. Well, you're trying to emphasize something. That's what Paul is doing here. He's emphasizing this is serious matter. There is a curse. And we might think about which are these people that change the gospel. We might think about these famous crazy preachers online that just are after the money. And those are easy to identify. The problem is that the ones that are not easy to identify is when it's ourselves, when we're the one changing the gospel. And Paul tells us, he tells you and me, that there is a curse when we change the gospel. And I'm going to give you some examples. A false gospel, for example, produces exhausted parents. If you're standing before God depends on your performance as a parent, your parenting becomes just another performance. If you are one that thinks good Christian parents never lose their patience, what happens when right after church, when you're getting in the car, you already lost your patience? Good Christian families always have perfect devotions. There's nothing worse than going to somebody's house and then they're doing their devotion, which is great. But then when you go get in the car or when you get home, your wife is like, see, they are true Christians. You, not so much. Or when your child finally rebels and you think, I must have failed God. Instead of enjoying God's grace, you're constantly trying to prove yourself. And eventually, your guilt replaces the joy that the gospel brings. Your comparison with other people replaces gratitude in your hearts. Burnout replaces worship. The gospel says to you, you parent from acceptance, not to be accepted. Also, a false gospel produces perform-based homes. Children, we were all that at one point, children quickly learn the family gospel and ask yourself, what is the gospel in my family? Sometimes it's God loves you if you are good. Your brother, the one that is always getting us in trouble, making us look bad as a family, not so much. Sometimes it's mom and dad love you most when you behave. The problem with this is that children become performers instead of worshipers. The theologian Gerhardus Voss, which I don't know if I'm pronouncing correctly, he has this beautiful phrase that says, and rough phrase that says, legalism lacks the supreme sense of worship. It obeys, but it does not adore. Problem with perform-based homes that have a watered-down gospel is they do not endure the test of time. When kids leave home, what happens? Yeah, well, I took so much from you, husband, but now that the kids are gone, there's no more reason for me to keep being nice to you. I was just with you because of the kids. But what happened with kids when they finally go to college and they don't have you on top of them all the time? They do not endure the test of time because what they leave was not the true gospel. It was a watered-down version. A false gospel also creates pride or despair. Legalism has these two destinations, either pride or either despair. If you think you're succeeding, you become proud. Oh, what a great husband I am. Look at me, right? But also, you can fall into despair. If you know you're failing as a parent, as a husband, as a son, you become discouraged. I'm the worst son. I just can't do what my sister always does. She brings all the A's. She's always the greatest. I am never that person. Very few legalistic people, brothers and sisters, become humble. And Paul says, Christ removes our boasting. Someone else in the New Testament, he says that there's nothing to boast about. But also we shouldn't fall into despair because our righteousness is outside of ourselves. It's imputed. It's given to us. This is what the true gospel says. Yes, you're not good enough, but you're accepted because the righteousness of Christ makes you to be accepted. A false gospel also makes your marriage to be a mere transaction. Instead of grace, I will forgive you because Christ forgave me. Marriage become, yeah, I will forgive you if you don't do it again. I will respect you if you're finally a true man and you provide for us. I will serve you when you finally decide to behave. Everything becomes conditional when the true gospel is not what rules your home. True gospel produces covenantal love in marriages. True gospel produces unconditional covenant love towards that difficult person that you call your spouse. A false gospel creates judgmental Christians. Oh yes, it does. A false gospel is when we add to the gospel, we start comparing ourselves to others. And the funny thing, when we compare ourselves to others, is a lot of the times we always compare to a worse version, like the worst people, right? Instead of you asking yourself, how is Christ working in your brother? Oh, I'm so happy that my brother, yeah, he's always 20 minutes late to church, but at least he's here. Instead of asking yourself, how is Christ working in my brother and my sister, you always ask, why are they not like me? Why do they not get involved in so many ministries as I do? Why don't they tithe the way I do? Why are they not committed the way I am to this church? Why don't they educate their kids just like I do? Legalism always creates comparison But grace creates and produces compassion. A false gospel steals assurance. Many believers constantly ask, am I doing enough? Have I prayed enough? Am I holy enough? Instead of looking at Christ, some of us, we continually feel persecuted. Yes, it's important to self-examine ourselves, our hearts, but the gospel teaches us to first look to the cross, to first look to Christ, and then you can examine yourself. Another danger is that a false gospel produces fear instead of joy. Parents become terrified when we make mistakes, right? What if I ruin my children? Oh, I'm just being my father all over again. Oh, I'm such a bad mother. I'm making all the mistakes. The gospel says to you, parent, Christ is a greater savior than you are a parent. Trust in him. Trust in his work. Your children, and this is something that I love about being Presbyterian, your children ultimately belong to him. And that's why they're safe. It's a church feels like a competition. People begin comparing to each other, right? Those children, I'm so thankful those are not mine, because, oh my gosh, they're loud. They do not behave. Oh, that marriage. Ooh, I thought my marriage was bad. The church becomes a showcase sometimes, rather than a hospital for sinners, rather than a place where people encourage each other. So yes, gospel impacts all the areas of your life. Now, subtracting from the gospel also produces spiritually weak families and individuals. If parents say grace means obedience is not important, if you're one of those super relaxed parents, your children, what they start learning is that church is optional. If you come to church whenever there's nothing more important in your agenda, that's what your kid learns. They learn that holiness is something optional. Well, yeah, one day I'll be holy, but right now I'm a teenager, so yeah. My mom, she's okay with me doing whatever. So your kid starts learning that holiness is optional, that repentance is optional. And the next generation of Christians, they conclude, well, Christianity is optional. Subscribing to the gospel or being too chill about it also leaves our kids without direction. Because the thing of the matter is that children do not need perfect parents. If you find perfect parents, please let me know so I can send my kids over. But they do not need perfect parents. They need parents who repent, ask forgiveness, love Christ, come to church, obey his word. Because at the end of the day, we hope that one day they will have their own families. And when they're parents, they need to remember, yeah, my dad was pretty messed up, but you know what? He did ask for forgiveness. He would repent. I would see him on his knees crying sometimes to the Lord. He would take us to church. He made that something important. Christ, children can inherit a Christianity sometimes if we lack the seriousness about the gospel, if we become licentious. Then Christianity becomes something weak. I mean, we have Christians with no backbones, also known as evangelists, right? These evangelists. And two more, a false gospel also robs families and individuals of rest. It's so important to rest. Summer brings rest. Praise be to God. But Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Do you do that? A false gospel is always telling you, do more. Yes, you're already in two small groups. What about a third one? Do more. Would you try harder, be better, prove yourself? But the true gospel says, it is finished. Jesus finished the work. And this produces you to be joyful and then to obey. And lastly, a false gospel changes what children remember. Ask yourself, 20 years from now, what is my kid going to remember? That my dad knew systematic theology, he was the greatest at theology, or that my mom was always so perfect when having dinner, when producing dinner for us? Or did mom and dad always pointed us to Christ? Every individual listened Christian, every individual in every family, we're all preaching a gospel, whether we realize it or not. Just as the Galatians were, and they had abandoned the true gospel. Paul is telling us in this day, the Holy Spirit is telling us in this day to examine, yes, yourself about if you're living the true gospel of or not. Sometimes we preach to ourselves and to our children and to our family members, perform and then you will be accepted by me, by the Lord. Some other people would say, do whatever. The Lord loves you the way you are. But the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaims something way better, something sweeter, which is that in Christ we are fully accepted. We don't have to add anything to his finished work. We are fully accepted by grace alone, through faith alone. Therefore, because you are loved, because you are forgiven, forgive. Because you are loved, love others. Because you are a child of God. Because you are a child of God, then behave like one. Do not behave like one to become, because that cannot be done. Walk in obedience. The gospel doesn't merely get us into God's family. It teaches us how to live as one. Let us pray. Heavenly Father of Jesus Christ, forgive all the times when we decide to follow another gospel that obviously is not the true gospel. Help us to not bring damnation onto our homes, onto our lives, because of going after something that is not the true gospel. Help us repent and live in peace with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.